B-Pod Studios.
You want to talk sports in Boston? You talk to these guys.
That will not be a recycled take.
Right. But it's, no, it's a retake. It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.10:03 Thursday morning, Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle. Matt McCarthy's here.
Hi, Robert.
Good morning, McTakey.
How are you?
Scott Zolak in where do you live? Rentham?
Rentham.
Yeah. Scott Zolak in Rentham. What's up?
What's up, baseball nerd?
How you doing?
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's good to be here, as always.
I'm kind of pissed off here. I mean, this is day four now, and nobody has mentioned my awesome backdrop that I have going on here. That's been there for 4 days.
I don't think it's been there for 4 days.
Tom, it's been there for 4 days.
I also don't think it's awesome.
It has.
Okay.
What
is
it? It's pretty awesome.
What is it?
It's a 8x10 shot of me at Maryland.
Why is it hanging crooked?
And why is it awesome?
Because it's like part of the joke. I don't know. I just try to be funny.
Definitely can't tell what it is, but it has been there.
Okay, so when the pandemic first started, behind you, you had a couple of framed, like, Zolak jerseys.
Helmets. Try to dress the wall up. It's like a bland wall in our bedroom.
So
is what it is.
You put all that stuff up specifically for the simulcast.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, because, like, see, I'm in an alcove here. Like, what do you mean?
What's all the
like,
stuff
on couches
shoved in the corner over there?
Well, that's kids' pictures, like, when they were little. But, like, that's where I sit, stare out that window. That's where I watch my garbage man come out. He loves
Mondays.
The show, by the way.
Yeah.
So, but. There you go.
Okay.
That's better.
So what'd you do with the framed jerseys that you hung back there?
I put them back in the basement, back in the wall.
Oh, you just took them off the wall in the basement and hung them up there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. My apologies for not seeing or noticing the photo before.
Nobody pays attention.
Scott Zolak, interior decorator.
Wow.
Hey! It's flannel on, I see, huh? All buttoned up.
This was the one we were talking about yesterday. Actually,
it's a nice one.
I got an email about it, too, that I still have to reply to, and somebody wanted to know the exact name of this one. So I had to ask my buddy Steve, who sent it to me in the first place. I believe this is called the Dress Gordon plaid. And it's you can see it's got the yellow in it. That's the one that you couldn't get for a long time. But now,
what day are we unveiling our Dixon flannels?
I actually went to the website yesterday. They weren't lying. They're tough to get. They're sold out of the most popular sizes. And you can only get them in, like, small and, like, 4XL.
Wow.
You want medium, large, XL? No, you can't. That Tom could get one. He could get a small.
So see, and Beetle could get one.
Right.
What are you laughing at, Tyler? You're 4X.
No,
right
he's
now.
Not.
How dare you?
No.
2X right now.
Let's begin, gentlemen, with this playoff game we have going on Saturday night.
Yeah.
In Buffalo.
I'm excited to leave tomorrow. I'm really excited to go back to Buffalo.
I'm sure you are. We're going to talk about many aspects of the game. Also, Ime Udoka is going to be joining us on the program today. And maybe Josh Uche. We'll see.
That's definite. Uche is going to join us around 11:15, 11:30 when we're done with walkthrough.
Yep, definitely maybe.
Definitely maybe. Well,
that's a definite.
Okay. All right.
I got confirmation, guys.
From who?
Aaron Salkin works in PR.
Oh.
He'll be doing it off his phone.
But before we get into the game and stuff, let's talk a little bit about this from the Pats podcast. Tommy Curran, Phil Perry from NBC Sports Boston, talking about Mac's poor performance and whether this is something that has kind of been irking me lately, talking about his lack of weapons. Because I still don't, and we'll listen to what they have to say first, but let me just kind of preface all this by saying, I don't think the Patriots are suffering from a lack of weapons. I think they're suffering from a lack of performance from the players. And other teams have better receivers, of course. Other teams have better running backs and better quarterback. Nobody went into the season saying, Mac Jones just doesn't have enough. No. If that were the case, if we're really about lack of weapons, How come that was not what everybody was talking about back in September or in August? Why?
Simple.
Why?
It's simple. Because now you have 18 weeks of film. So now, you know, you got to give credit to other teams and their defensive philosophies and the way they break down film. When you get the third and six to what I call the third and 10 film, that's, I think, the most important film. That's the stuff we used to study the most when we were playing because that's the money down. Third and 12 plus, you're probably not picking that up. So we didn't have a lot in our repertoire for that, but we did rep some plays, and defenses were going to usually give you about 8 yards. They tackle you, and then you punt the ball away. But you make your money in this league on third and 6 to 10, somewhere in there. So now you get that on tape, and you figure out, okay, who's his go-to guy? Well, number one, it's Jacoby Myers. So we're going to bracket Jacoby Myers on anything where we hit a third and 6 to third and 10 in that range. We're going to have an inside out on him, and then we're going to have a safety down on who? Hunter Henry. He's the other guy. Basically, for me, he's got two weapons on third down, those two guys. And I think if you're keeping a back end, whether it's Brandon Bolden or whether it's somebody else, they're in scan block technique. They're going to be chipping and helping those edge guys out for the rush because you're going to try and go get Mac Jones. You're trying to speed him up, try to get him off his spot, so to speak. But now you got all this film knowing, okay, here's who he's going to. And I think that's when we see Josh, like last week, looking at his play sheet, just shaking his head like, I've unloaded everything. I don't know what we have next.
Okay, so
like,
how is that different from when they before they played week one against the Dolphins?
Because we thought, okay, wow, maybe Aguilar is going to be your number one receiver this year. I thought it was going to be Bourne. I don't think they use Bourne enough. I think Bourne's got some capabilities outside, and he has the ability to catch the ball in traffic.
Okay, so it's not
balls.
A lack of weapons. They have Bourne, or for Aguilar, he hasn't played well enough. It's not a lack
Aguilar's
of weapons.
Not played well enough.
The guys that have are not playing up to their potential.
Correct.
That's it.
Jonnu Smith and Aguilar.
Because you say lack of weapons, that immediately transitions
to... Those are two weapons or high-priced weapons.
We got to get more guys. We got to get different guys. We got to get rid of these guys. That's lazy, and that is not looking at the real problem.
Aguilar and Smith were the top two guys they signed at their position. They signed Smith before they got Henry. Remember, we were sitting there in the studio. We went nuts when they went after Henry.
Yes.
I was like, holy crap. They actually signed both tight ends. Right. They brought in Aguilar first. Those two guys are the bus, right? Not bus, but those two guys are disappointments right now.
So
that's all.
So this is, you know, all leading up to the conversation that that Curran and Perry were having about, is it lack of weapons or is Mac hitting the rookie wall? Now, I haven't given the rookie wall as much thought, so I want to listen to what these guys have to say, and then we'll talk about it. What is it?
The weapons are not elite. So if he was performing the way he was performing this last month of the season with Tampa Bay's roster or with Buffalo's roster or Kansas City's roster, then it would be more of a concern. But, Tom, I try to, at least, when we're looking at his play, try to look at it in a vacuum. And when you throw a pick six because you just didn't see a defender who's playing cover two and you think he's in man coverage, and Jacoby Myers does the right thing and throttles down his route, so you can hit him in the window there in the zone, the open spot in the zone, that has nothing to do with the weapons. That's all on him. You know, fumbled snap. You know, I would think at that position, you got to make sure more than most, you got to make sure you've got that football. That to me is on him and it's not on anybody else. So those are the types of errors that I think, you know, over the long haul, could the fact that they don't have the kind of dynamic playmaker that you're talking about hurt his performance? Yes. But is it why he threw the pick to Darius Leonard or to Bobby Okereke in Indianapolis? Is it why they were below 50% passing and they could, you know, barely move it through the air at all against Buffalo?
Okay. So three things that Phil said to start that thing. He said, if he had the weapons of Tampa or Kansas City or Buffalo and he weren't converted, then it would be a different concern because he said, yeah, the, you know, weapons are not elite. Hold on a second. Who are the quarterbacks for Tampa, Kansas City, and Buffalo? And are they all like
studs,
a completely different stratosphere than where Mac Jones is right now? So can we stop? Can we stop blaming the weapons?
Is Isaiah McKenzie an elite weapon for Buffalo? No. But did Josh Allen make him look elite day after Christmas here? Yeah, he did.
I think I was on McKenzie.
I mean, McKenzie had a good
game. He elevated. He caught the ball. He went and fought for the ball. Yeah, but I mean, you got to have faith to put the ball there. See, that's the thing I think.
And you got to be able you have to be able to scramble around like Patrick Mahomes and throw across your body 40 yards the other side of the field to find Tyreek Hill.
Runs his 4-2 and it gets in.
Yeah. So is he really fast? Yes. Does he have to be when your quarterback can keep the play alive for 4 or 5 seconds, scrambling around in the backfield like a madman and then dropping a dime on somebody 30 yards away on the wrong side of the field? I mean, it's Mac, it's the receivers, it's everybody. They're in the playoffs. They have double-digit wins. They've had a good season. Don't tell me, though, and don't try and convince me they just don't have enough in terms of talent. Other teams are more talented. Yes, they have enough. The talent they have needs to play better. These guys can all play better. Yep. And for Mac, he's a rookie. He's got the ultimate pass here, and I think he will play better. The other guys, they just need to play better.
And what's it do for Buffalo too? They get Beasley and Davis back this time. Like, they didn't have Davis and Beasley. Davis was trending as his number one red zone threat prior to that second game in Foxborough. I just thought it was telling last week in Miami. They're running a double seam to the left side late in the game. Mac had all that time to throw. He threw that jump ball to Jacoby Myers down the left sideline. Now, he wasn't open, but he said, you know what? I like him, and I think he's going to fight for the ball. I'm going to throw the ball up and let him go get it. Nelson Aguilar was in front of him in a slot running wide open 3 yards behind a guy, and he came off Aguilar, who was open, to go to Myers. So I don't blame him. I mean, he's developing a rapport with him. It's a trust factor. But to beat Buffalo, you're going to have to do something different. And that means maybe get the ball to Aguilar and Bourne downfield. Because I don't think anybody's expecting it. I'm not. No Patriots fan is right now.
What do you think, McTakey? Is it weapons, or is it just a rookie wall, or just being a rookie? Forget about the wall. This is, you know, it's Mac Jones being a rookie. What's the cause for his, we'll be nice here and call it, plateauing?
We are letting Mac Jones off the hook here. I mean, they don't have elite NFL weapons, but they have guys who belong in the league, which is more, you could say, you know, than last year. I mean, say what you will about Kendrick Bourne, say what you will about Nelson Aguilar, they belong in the league. Jonnu Smith, disappointment, sure. Hunter Henry, I think, has exceeded our expectations. Let's stop letting the quarterback off the hook here. I'm not saying that he hasn't exceeded all of my expectations this year, because he has, because I didn't expect anything from a rookie quarterback. But the fact of the matter is, you have lost 3 out of your 4 final games, and Mac Jones has been a problem in all of those losses. Not saying he's the premier issue. Not saying that the defense hasn't been a problem. Not saying that special teams hasn't been a disaster. The quarterback's been an issue. Don't focus on the weapons. Focus on the quarterback first.
Right. He's committed the critical errors in those games. Yep. Pick six, fumble on the ground when you're driving. Pick inside the 8-yard line when you're driving against the Colts. All that. Those are critical game-changing type errors, and he's got to minimize and eliminate those.
We're going to take your call, 617-779-0985. We'll also touch on the Greg Bedard podcast here when he talks about Matt Judon. So we'll be talking about that with you and more. Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Phone lines are always open for you.
Answer the phone!
Give us, if you want to call up out of the blue.
Answer the phone!
98.5, The Sports Hub.
But the way I read it from people I've talked about, so, you know, Matthew Judon got the big contract, came over. Bill Belichick has given him a lot of leeway, especially he did early on in the season, like, hey, you know, basically leaving him alone to his own devices. And largely he played within the structure of the scheme. I didn't have a whole lot of problems, and he was great. And Bill kind of left him alone, and you know, when he did make mistakes, he wouldn't, you know, kind of, you know, left him to his own devices. But now it's gotten worse, and I don't know if Bill can get him to buy back in. He just doesn't. Judon looks like a guy who is not buying into the scheme, who seems frustrated in his role or lack of production, and is sort of doing his own thing, and it's leaving guys out to dry. But if Bill can get him to buy back in and do his job again, they have a chance. He's just – Bill's going to have to do some major work there because it Judon has become a liability on this defense, and I could not have imagined myself saying that, say, 5 or 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, Bedard makes a great point there. 5, 6 weeks ago, it's tough to imagine that we would be having a conversation about Matt Judon and whether or not I'm not saying he's a liability right now. Bedard thinks he's a liability on the defense right now, but it's tough to imagine it would even be a conversation, and it is. Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and Frabedal, McTakey's here. Zo, is Judon a liability on the defense?
No. No. I think that's a strong word. And when you say liability, like when I break the huddle, and if I'm one of the offensive linemen or the quarterback and I'm setting a protection, you got to find out where number nine is. Is he on the right? Is he on the left? Is he in the middle? Did they back him down inside? Where is he? Because he's sort of in the front, sets of protection to me. That's what I'd be concerned with if I was an offensive coordinator playing against New England. I'm at the games. I see him play to play. I think he's nicked up, period. I see him on his back after a play and waiting for two guys to come over, get one leg up, and I'm looking for two hands to help get me up off the ground. That's not a guy popping up, you know, by himself after making a player getting caught in a little bit of a skirmish where you're healthy. I think he's nicked up.
What does it tell you about a player when, you know, to use Bedard's words, is doing his own thing? You know, he says, you
doing
know,
his own thing is what Jamie Collins did a couple years ago and then got his ass sent to Cleveland.
Okay.
When he crashed down inside, Buffalo pops it outside for a run. Next thing you know, he's traded to Cleveland the next week.
You know, we've talked about
that's doing your own thing.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. There's a couple of reasons why a player does his own thing. Number one, he's not buying in on the defense, and he thinks he can do better doing his own thing. Number two, he starts to feel like he's that good, and he can do his own thing. And while the defense might be working, let me do my own thing here. Another way a player might do his own thing is if he is not physically capable of doing what he's supposed to be doing in his defensive role, and so what he ends up doing is something that's more conducive to how his body is feeling at that time, and that comes across on the screen as doing your own thing.
Yeah, I mean, he's lost leverage a lot to the outside on some runs, which is not what he did earlier in the year, to Greg's point. I don't think that's part of buying in. I just think he can't run left and right. Like, if you got something in your hip or your knee, and all of a sudden you got a back that's running 4-3 and he gets outside, yeah, I'm not going to get there. You see it sometimes with Van. Look at Van Noy early in camp. Remember Van Noy was nicked up early in camp at the beginning of the year? And he just looked slow and couldn't move and just stiff. And he's dealing with something, but they can't talk about it. They don't know, but you don't know about it, you know? And then Van Noy got healthy and he started playing better. And maybe Judon could start playing better here. You know, he's dealing with the COVID thing too. I don't know if that hurts the lungs, but you remember Duggar came off the COVID list too. And that first series of Buffalo, when they threw the ball to Singletary on the flat, runs over Duggar, a Hightower hits him, and then he carries Hightower for 8 yards. Like, whoa. You know, Duggar's never, like, hit somebody and then, you know, boom, falls on his ass like he got hit. You know, he's usually the one guy gives and one guy taketh. And you don't want to be the taker. And usually Duggar's the guy that pounds it, you know. And for him to go up and hit him and then he falls on his ass, I'm like, oh, that's a sign of things. Then he may not have had his energy or his wind. And that could be a COVID thing. I don't know. You know?
McTakey, so we'll is Judon a liability?
No. No, and the suggestion that he's a liability is something that I disagree
with. Miles Bryant's a liability. Sorry, McTakey. That's a liability.
And, okay, and you know what? Ahead. Mac Jones in these last 4 weeks has been a liability. Turnovers, problems, the offense is stagnant. That falls on the quarterback. Mac Jones has been a liability. Matt Judon, I agree, Zoe. I think he's probably hurt. That does not mean that he can't go out there on Saturday and have a massive game. I would not rule
correct
that out. I would be very surprised, conversely, if Mac Jones went out on Saturday and had a massive game. He's a rookie. He's hit the rookie wall.
How many other rookie quarterbacks are in the playoffs right now? Name one.
No, listen.
There are none.
No, there are none. Yeah. And I'm not saying Mac Jones has been a liability for the vast majority of the year. But in the last 3-4 games, he has been. Turning the ball over, bad picks. I mean, 5 picks in a fumble, in the last, you know, three losses. I mean, that's liability. That's liability right there.
You're not going to win games doing it.
No, exactly. I mean, and I'm not saying that Matt Judon has helped them win games here down the stretch, because he hasn't. But I would not be surprised if he did that on Saturday night.
All right, let's go to the phone, 617-779-0985. We'll go to Jimmy, who's in Southie. Jimmy, you're on with Hardy and Zoe and McTakey. What's up, Jimmy?
Three, four games. Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. Can you turn your radio down, please, Jimmy?
Good morning.
All right, yeah. So my thing is this. I think Mac Jones has done a very good job as far as, like, very good placement with floaters and lobs and stuff like that. But how much of an issue do you think his last five interceptions have been as far as lack of arm velocity and being able to really throw a missile right in the right spot? Do you think that's going to cause problems for him?
All right, so I'm not able to recall all five. We'll just go back to the first one on third down of the first drive. Was that an issue of arm velocity, Zoe, or just not seeing the play?
No, everybody's like, oh, they baited him. No, that's Xavien Howard, a $16 million corner, breaking on the ball because you threw it outside instead of throwing it inside.
Right.
Myers read it perfectly. He was bracketed inside. The corner sat outside. It was cover two. There's a little space in the middle, and I'm going to sit down, and Mac thought he was breaking out. It's a bad read. I've done it. You throw it right to the corner, and it sucks. It came out of his hand. I'm screaming no on the broadcast because you saw it. It's a good job by Howard. That's what guys like that get paid. That Revis did it every week. Ty Law did it every week.
Yeah.
You sit on stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Mike
and a rookie. I'm going to sit, you know?
Yes. Mike and Peabody on Zolak and Bertrand. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how's it going? I keep hearing people say, like, it's a lack of weapons. I don't think it's a lack of weapons. I just think the weapons we have aren't good enough.
They're not good weapons.
Jonnu Smith, everyone talks about, like, he's this great tight end.
Who does?
His only thing he has is potential. He always had potential. He never lived up to it. We signed him. Nelson Aguilar. Always dropped balls. Was never that great. He had one good season with the Raiders. We paid him a ton of money. And then Kendrick Bourne. He couldn't even get on the field in San Francisco, but yet he was talked about like he was going to be the next Wes Welker. If you want to talk about a team that doesn't have weapons, that's the Detroit Lions. We have them. Belichick, just for some reason, cannot choose a wide receiver for the life of him unless one falls in his lap, like Jacoby Myers.
Yeah.
He's unable to find good receivers. He needs to talk to someone over in Pittsburgh because they just spit them out. One after another, they're
Kevin
all
Colbert. Yeah, he resigned, Matt, by the way. So he's available. We could go get Kevin Colbert, tell him, hey, pick our receivers for us, okay? Just worry about receivers. I think he hit on Bourne, and I think he hit on Henry. You missed on Aguilar, and you missed on Smith.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
The sad thing is Smith has extreme athletic ability. He's the only guy that I see on this roster that can catch the ball standing still and explode for 8 yards.
Burst.
Nobody else can do that.
But also, it's a 1-2 punch here. I don't think Mac Jones has the game yet to fully utilize Jonnu Smith. And even if he did, it's not going to be much more than what you're getting out of him now.
I don't think he knows who Jonnu Smith is. Really?
Somebody should introduce the two of them.
At least he knows who Jacoby Myers is. This guy's going to fight for every ball I put around you.
And he knows
when I throw a couple picks,
he knows
I'm going to get antsy and go to the guy that I trust.
Right.
That's tendencies. That's what happens. That's human.
He knows
it's a
Myers.
Human element.
He knows Henry. Jonnu Smith, get to know him.
Henry's fine. Henry's good.
All right.
So
let's talk to JP in North Providence. Hi, JP.
Hey, guys. Howdy, Matt. Hey, so, quick question for you first, an honest one. I always bust your beans over the years. Have you ever thought of coming out with a clothing line like sunglasses, polo shirts? Because your loyal followers would get it. Huh. I would buy it. Now,
how much would you buy, first of all?
How much would you spend on a pair of Scott Zolak brand sunglasses?
$59, $60. Get some polo shirts with Zoe on it. Are you kidding? You've got a loyal following. Two stupid football questions. Mm. Mac Jones is 6'3", but he seems to play like he's 5'8". Balls get batted down at the line of scrimmage. He seems like he's getting reads that he doesn't see. Can they drop him back in the pocket or maybe roll him out more so he can see the field and not get those blocked? And why is our big tack playing right tackle instead of left tackle so he can protect him? Am I missing something?
Okay. I like that last question.
Well, first of all, he's hit on an interesting price point for sunglasses.
Yes.
We've talked about this before. I believe we did about a week's worth of shows on it.
We did?
There are It's probably during the summer, probably summer of 2020.
Vacation.
There seems to be a price point where, oh, you want some sunglasses? You go to Dick's, you can get some SunCloud, some whatever, $30. The next level of sunglasses starts around 90. There's nothing really in that mid-range, and then 90 and up. You know, you can spend $200-$300 on sunglasses, of course. But they're either $25-$30 or they're 90 and up. So
you know what? CVS has good Panama Jacks for like $29-$30.
$30. That's what I'm saying. $30 sunglasses, and then it's right around 100. That's where it starts again.
Business opportunity there.
$60 sunglasses.
You go to Sunglass Hut, you're like 300 easy. You know, starting there.
Yeah, 200. Yeah, you want some Maui Jims? Ray-Bans you can get, I don't know, maybe $1.25 or something like that.
I beat the hell out of my glasses. I hang them on my shirt collar. Mm. Yeah, I wear them up on top of my head on a boat, and they fall on the deck. Yeah. They fall in the water. They're always dirty. I nick them up. I go through them like crazy. I love sunglasses.
But you wouldn't that help to have like, because the $30 pair, they feel and look, when you look through them, they feel like a $30 pair of sunglasses.
Yeah, they do.
When you spend $100, they're like, oh, these got some weight to them. The lenses are better. Correct. Need something in between.
Correct. T-Bone, you got anything on this? Since like, you're just going to sit there.
Oh, T-Bone, well, someone in his family does.
Oh, look who just parked up. Ooh, sunglass talk. Ooh.
No, actually, I don't care for the topic.
Okay.
What's your favorite brand?
No.
Well, it's our show, so we're going to do it. So what's your favorite brand, T-Bone? Like, what fits your square head?
This year.
See, part for me, McTakey, as we do this, I got...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You say dialogue, so says.
It's nice to have sort of this open dialect with you to where...
Dialogue.
What'd I say?
Dialect.
I said dialect?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and Forbeetle, more of your calls on the Patriots will be... Speaking with Ime Udoka, Celtics head coach, another win for the Celtics last night over the Pacers. A lot more on that coming up. And, of course, Bruins. Big Bruins news today is Tuukka Rask getting the start in net tonight against Philadelphia. But first we go to Jake in Boston. Hello, Jake. What's going on?
Hardy, thank you for the tease. Many points. I'll cycle through them quickly. If any team hires Jerod Mayo, that GM needs to be fired. We talk about social media and hurting one's job prospects.
Why?
Any GM that doesn't do the homework on Chantal Mayo's Instagram and understands that sports radio fodder, given how active she is there, that GM is an idiot. So Jerod Mayo's wife should cost him any head coaching job. Two, Mac Jones.
Why? What's going on there? I don't do that stuff.
Follow Chantal Mayo and tell me that person, that woman, and granted, I don't have anything against her personally, between all she's out there with would not be a major problem for an NFL head coach.
I'm not even going to address it. Move on to your next point, Jake.
All right, just follow her and you'll see
what I'm going to ignore it. Move on to the next point, please.
Mac Jones, let's stop talking about the rookie wall. This kid was propped up by playing on a super team last year. His replacement nearly won a national championship on Monday without its two best receivers. And mind you, the two talents he had last year, Najee Harris and Devontae Smith, have had fantastic rookie seasons in the NFL. So let's talk about who propped up Mac Jones last year at Alabama. Three. Of the 14 NFL playoff quarterbacks, five are Leos, two are Virgos, two are Sags. Mercury goes in retrograde in Aquarius tomorrow. So you've got, and my Brady talks about being a Leo in the latest Man in the Arena.
Hello, Miss
and
Cleo.
How his horoscope for the AFC Championship game was a good one. Also, Tom Brady pitching clothing lines and Gronk's puppy is sick. So take the Eagles against the spread on Sunday. Number five, I don't know what the CBA says. I don't know if the Patriots could have practiced on Tuesday or not, but if they could have, that should be a talking point right now because they didn't have it have a practice on Tuesday.
What? All right.
Six. We need to get our money together and get Katarina from Berlin to take Tyler out on a date. Not T-Bone Tyler, because I don't want to see any more Sox Appeal tweets from Tyler Milliken. Sox Appeal was the absolute low point of Red Sox Nation and the cringeworthiness of Red Sox Nation.
Wow.
And we never, ever should see that again.
All right. Thank you, Jerry.
I agree.
Sox Appeal was the dating show, right?
Yes. Do you see what's on Nessun these days?
Robbie Roadsteamer was on Sox Appeal.
I like
that
the
was,
food.
That
like
was the food that was the high point of that of that series. So,
Jenny and Billy Costa, I like their food stuff. I love the food shows. All that other crap, you can shove it wherever.
And Tyler has a lovely girlfriend.
He's a kept man.
And
the women are beating each other for him.
She is delightful. So
they're lining up saying, hey, give me some of that.
There's nothing lacking in his personal life, so you don't have to worry about that.
Oh, he's a hound. Yeah.
No, Tyler's going to be Tyler regardless of what's happening there with his nocturnal
activities. I do got a problem with Mac Jones. He and his girlfriend got a new dog.
Yeah.
Got a wuss dog. That ain't a real dog.
You know what, though? I mean, have you ever been around like a small dog like that?
Yep. Mother-in-law's had them, and they're annoying.
You don't like them, huh?
They're a pain in the ass. They yap all day. Nope. You get labs, you get retrievers, you get bulldogs. That's what you do.
I can't
boxers.
A
real man's dog.
So I can't help it. I like
that
dogs.
That dog's a wuss dog.
I like dogs, and even small dogs. Even I like some dogs more than others.
No
obviously,
use for small dogs.
I've always kind of been a lab guy.
Yeah.
I have a lab now, but I've been around some small dogs, and I don't mind them at all. I really don't. So more power to them. Anybody who has a dog, their stock goes up a little bit in my eyes. Even cats. I like pets. What can I say?
I don't like cats. Not a cat.
I don't mind. I don't mind them. It's a totally
sharks, bees, and
totally
cats.
Different vibe.
You don't need them.
Totally different vibe.
Back to the horoscopes, though.
Yeah. Back to Miss Cleo and what she said. Like, if Mercury is in retrograde.
I'm sorry. We're burying the lead.
You have questions. I have the answers.
No.
I'd call Felger's family with that.
Stop it. Chris in Hartford.
That's right.
Stop it. Chris in Hartford.
That's how they made their money, right?
Would you shut up? Go ahead, Chris.
Jesus.
See, this is what happens when parents get annoyed with their children and they lock them in the closet. Jake from Boston, I've listened for a couple years now, and it is a freak show.
Yeah.
I'm here to talk about sports.
Okay.
So I want to talk about the interview you guys actually did. It's under your nose. And the comments when Van Noy came on during the bye week, all he came out with, and I know you know this, all he did was pump his tires. I'm a conservative linebacker. What's wrong with me? Maybe I'm not the biggest and baddest. He was talking about Judon because Judon goes up the field and is not responsible with the coverages. And then they asked Van Noy about it, and he said, no comment. That's what happened at the break. Van Noy opened his mouth again, and that's why I don't want him as a Patriot fan. Jake, get back in the closet.
Okay. All right. So you think there's an issue between Kyle Van Noy and Matt Judon?
We did have another interview several weeks ago. It was a Milk Monday, and we had Chase Winovich on. So that comment right there reminded me of this. And this is when Judon was just everywhere, jamming, defensive player of the year type stuff. We asked Chase about him. Hey, great having him in the locker room. Chase declined comment. Remember that, Hardy?
About Kyle or Judon?
About Judon.
Huh.
Tom, do you remember that?
Declining to comment.
I don't want to speak for you can allow him to talk for himself.
All right.
Something along those lines. Wouldn't get it. This is when, he was the most popular defensive player in the league.
Well,
I like Judon. I love Judon. I think he's going to be great here. I think he's nicked up. I do.
If no comment is what you're looking for, you're about to be disappointed because Celtics head coach Ime Udoka is going to come on and spill his guts here in about five
more minutes. Like
every week. Yep. About Jaylen Brown, about Jason Tatum, about what Perk said about those guys, about the leadership. It's all coming out when he joins us next on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Can you feel it? Really exciting, right?
Woo! Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, Celtics head coach Ime Udoka. I'm with Hardy, Scott Zolak, and Matt McCarthy. Ime, thank you for joining us. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. Congrats on the win last night and the win before that. Seems like maybe you guys have turned a bit of a corner, back to 500 on the season. What's the mood around the team right now?
Oh, we feel good, obviously, playing better basketball. You know, it always helps when the shots go down and you have two 30-point games by your big dogs. And so that was evident last night. But we're relying on our defense, and I think we've been pretty sharp over the last few games.
Coach, you mentioned the two big dogs, and obviously, you know, this is your first year here in Boston, and you know we've been talking about these two guys for a long time and the ability to coexist. And I know Jalen and Jason said that they spoke, you know, last week after a game. But what is your relationship with a guy like Kendrick Perkins, and who's in the media that may say something that, you know, hey, we live in a different world now where social media is out there, guys are on their phones, and you're pretty aware of what everybody in the media says, but. How much do those guys get affected by like what a guy like Perk would say last week?
Well, luckily for me, I don't have social media and I don't hear everything. So I just go off of, you know, what we see and what we're working on with our guys. But unfortunately, a lot of players do. And they hear and see everything, to your point, or family members or somebody brings it to them. But I tell them to worry about the things we can control, things inside the building and areas we can improve on. And you know, everything else is opinions and it's there for a reason, but don't let that affect your day to day. And I think our guys hear it, but also take it with a grain of salt. People are doing the job, but the main thing is getting these guys to play together. And it's not just a your turn, my turn thing. And I think the mix and those guys actually working together on the court has been really good over the last few games.
Well, and coach, you know, there has been a lot of suggestions that maybe Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown can't play together. What do you make of those suggestions? What do you make of that narrative that I think is picked up steam here, you could argue, in recent weeks, recent months?
Well, of course, due to some struggle on the court, that's going to come up. But what I look at is, you know, the big picture of when they've been together this year so far, how we played certain games. And, you know, for the most part, those guys have played well together. And I think it's only improving throughout the season and with our continuity of lineups and rotations being back. And so what we're trying to focus on with those guys is doing it together, putting them in certain sets where they're working together, and it's not just, you know, one guy's turn and then the next. And so you saw that over the last few games. I think their passing overall has improved, their playmaking, and it all looks much better when guys are shooting better around them. But, you know, you look at a game like last night where they're extra efficient, making the right plays, and that's what we're asking of them. The shots are going to fall eventually, and I think, you know, to have a 11 for 19 games by those guys, and then you complement it with Dennis attacking, every team would kill to have these two guys on their team together. And so a lot of the people saying break it up, I'm sure, would love to have these two options.
I'm sure. Ime Udoka is with us right now. It was a week ago today. You said repetitive result. We need some leadership, somebody that can calm us down and not get rattled when everything starts to go a little south. Has there been some positive development on that front that has helped result in some wins here, or is it just a case, like you said, of the big dogs dropping 30 points in a couple of games in a row?
It's been both. I mean, like, as always, shots falling would mask a lot of things that you can improve on. But, you know, we've had a lot of individual sessions with these guys. They've talked as well as they mentioned. But, you know, it starts with the coaching staff and us helping them understand what we're trying to achieve. And a big onus is on those two guys. And not just the point guards, it comes from the leadership from them growing in that area. And I think they've taken it to heart, some of the things, as well as the coaching staff, areas we can help them improve and be better down the stretch. And so it's a total team effort, and those guys have really taken a step up in that area. They want to grow, they want to learn, they're very receptive to the coaching and the one-on-one sessions we've had. And I think you're starting to see some results from that.
Coach, it seemed like every day we were coming in, excuse me, somebody was going to be on that COVID list. And you know, you're at half a roster, you're at two-thirds of roster. Do you guys feel that you, as an organization in the league, has sort of turned that COVID corner and maybe you survived that spike, so to speak?
It feels like it to some extent. You know, Peyton just coming back, and, you know, you got Marcus out with the thigh injury, but nobody's been affected, you know, with the positive popping up recently. I think we obviously took a pretty big hit early on, and I think we're a top five in the league by games missed and games affected. And so it was definitely a, you know, putting the puzzle pieces together every game, it felt like. But if we can just keep guys healthy and get some continuity and consistency like we talked about, we feel even with the depleted roster at times, we've been competitive with teams, been in games, and probably only been out of two or three games in total this year. So we feel like we're finally getting turned the corner on that. Hopefully the worst is behind us. And, you know, I'm not sure about the rest of the league being affected, but it definitely hit us hard. But we still had chances to win games. And so we feel like when we have a full roster, we have enough to win games.
Now, in regards to your roster, and perhaps this is a question better directed to Brad Stevens, but you as the coach, you know, the trading deadline is coming up. Are there any areas on your roster that you would identify that could perhaps be improved at the trading deadline? Or is there anything that you'd be focusing on from your view?
You know, with every team, shooting is at a premium in the league. And like I said, made baskets would mask some of the losses we had, just simply if we made some more shots during the year. So you still want to touch on the areas you can improve on, and shooting is always one of them. But at the same time, we have capable guys that are not shooting their best the first half of the season, and we show improvement at times. Last night was an example, going 18 for 38, 47% from three, and how different a game looks as far as that. So we want to stay confident with our guys and, you know, help them get back to their career averages at worst, and then, you know, improve that throughout the year. But shooting is a thing you can always improve on, and I think that's at a premium in this league, depending on the three ball, and so we can improve in that area for sure.
Yeah, completely unrelated to the talent acquisition question that Matt just asked. I'm just curious, how well do you know Jeff Green? You like him? Get along with him? Or Jalen Smith, for that matter? Any thoughts on either one of those players?
Obviously, I coached Jeff last year in Brooklyn, and so he was my personal guy that I worked out every day in practice pregame. So sure. Jeff is a great guy, great veteran, of course, and has been here. But like I said, we focus on what we can control, and the rumors that come up every year, you hear the number 90-95% of those never happen. But, you know, it's interesting with teams going through things that everybody's looking to improve at the trade deadline. And so discussions will be had, but the things we can control is helping our guys improve throughout this year. And I think we're starting to see that. And, you know, doing what we've done great so far, which is play defense, and then the shots will come eventually.
All right. Ime Udoka, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it as always. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. There he goes. Celtics head coach Ime Udoka on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. It was nice to see them get the overtime win against the Pacers the other night and then follow it up with a win at Indianapolis last night, a convincing win. One of those games where you turned it on and you're like, oh, okay, watch this for a while. This is in hand. Let's go back and see if Marchand is going to pick up his fourth goal tonight. Both those games last night were nice because that felt like they were both kind of like over with early and there was no stress. Yeah, you can bounce back and forth and not worry about, you know, what one team falling behind and having it fall apart for them.
Not a stressful viewing experience, certainly. I would just say real quick on that game last night, it's nice to see the Celtics actually separate from a team that they should separate from, because that was the takeaway a couple nights ago at home. You're like, man, they're not that much better than the Pacers.
The Pacers,
and that's a scary thing.
They needed that. They needed that overtime one two games ago. It took Tatum to hit that one in the corner to even force overtime. They lose that coming off of all the comments of last week. That puts them back on the radar. This gets them off the radar a little bit as far as, oh, they can't play together.
So it's shots like that from Tatum from the corner at the end of regulation the other night where you look at that and I say to anybody who thinks that like the answer for this team is splitting up Brown and Tatum, and you're like, I know you like Brown better.
Yeah,
you're
Brown
forced
better.
To choose between the two.
I take Brown.
But you watch that shot and tell me your mind doesn't change at least for a time after watching Jason Tatum and his ability to hit a shot like that.
He's freaking on. He's great.
He's great. I mean, yeah. It's like,
that's never
and
been
like
the
he may
issue.
Just said, like any team in the league would kill to have these two guys together. It's like, and you really want to bust him up?
No, but sometimes like having that type of talent, forcing it together, and some of these Uber teams, it doesn't mix. Like, you've got to find the right mix that works for your team. That's never been the problem with Tatum. I've never said Tatum couldn't play.
Well, let's stick with this for a second, because B-Rob talked about this on the Celtics Talk podcast about the Celtics and their best path forward with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. We'll continue with this and your calls, 617-779-0985. Headlines here with McTakey, and then our number two is Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy in for Beetle.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.